together, Lord, to honor you. For all you've done and you prepared to do.
Yesterday I said, Lord, I really want you to speak this morning, but I don't have a thing to say. And I was a little apprehensive about even ministering today because of the situation, what I'm going through. But I decided, well, I'm just going to plow through that. I'm not going to let it affect me.
Amen.
And thank you, by the way, for your prayers. And God's good. I'm very excited about what He's going to do through all this. So I almost made a call to either Bill or Darren or Dale and said, come on, I want you to minister Sunday. But then I really felt like you guys haven't suffered any lately, so I wanted to go ahead and do it myself. The Bible said if you suffer with Him, you'll also reign with Him. So this morning, you're going to win either way. If it turns out to be really just honey from heaven, you're going to say, wow. If you suffer, then you're going to say, wow, because then you're also going to profit. So you get it either way. Amen. This will be a gooey message for sure. And in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 45 and chapter 47, we're going to just read a little bit there this morning, then I'm going to jump on over to book of Ephesians chapter 2 and also Psalms 132 and 133. But as we look in the book of Ezekiel, as I've preached about this before, we see the pattern of the return of God's glory to His house. And it's a beautiful story because it's the story of a temple. And there was 15 different steps in this temple that led to the pinnacle, or the place of the Holy of Holies, where God's presence dwelt the most, or the most intense. And each step up was represented in the book of Psalms 120 through 134, calling the Psalms of Ascent. The children of Israel, as they were coming out of Babylon after their captivity, returning to Israel, they began to sing these psalms. And each psalm has a significance because it starts out with a song of deliverance. And it accumulates in a song of fulfillment. And so during this process of coming out of Babylon and being restored back to Israel and the rebuilding of the temple, and we know how the glory of the latter house become greater than the former, and how God wanted to restore His glory back to the nation, during that process, it's so much like the Christian experience. Now, I know a lot of people don't believe in a process of development. But whether you believe in it or not, it works that way. We go through different times and seasons in our life. We're going to different levels of understanding and revelation in God. You see, it's only by the revelation you get and receive are you able to change. If you change apart from revelation, your change is not permanent, or is it real? It's only by the revelation of the Word, when God speaks, and it's by the Spirit we change. Everybody say, by the Word. And by the Spirit.
By the Spirit.
So when the Word of God comes by the Spirit, and we receive it by faith, it results in a transformation. That's how God's process always works with His people. Yeah. God speaks, we hear, we respond, we change. And so the greater the revelation, the greater the transformation. Lack of revelation means no transformation. That's why if we just have doctrine won't transform us, will it? Because it's not just the doctrine, it has to be the life. It has to be the impartation of the Spirit of God coming through the Word that He speaks to us. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. And so that seed that God speaks into our spirit, into our heart, is the seed of life that transforms us from glory to glory and from image to image. And I'm glad this morning that many of you have reached a very advanced stage of transformation. Hallelujah. And how do you know how far you've been transformed? By the fruit that you bear.
That's right. Come on.
What's the one thing that gives you away on really who you are? your fruit.
Come on, fruit.
So if you have good fruit, then it must mean you've got a good tree.
Right.
Come on now.
Come on.
If you have good fruit, then you have a
good tree.
Bad fruit, you've got a
bad tree.
And if you don't believe that, go back and listen to my messages about the tree, part one and part two. I explain it all in there. So we're not going to get off into trees this morning. At least that'd be a distraction. I do see men like trees walking. Okay. Hallelujah. In Ezekiel, I'm sure we are going to read out of Ezekiel this morning, I promise you. Just for you. Chapter 43. After he brought me to the gate, and the gate that faces toward the east, and behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east. His voice was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory. How many could go in for some of that? It was like the appearance of the vision which I saw, like the vision which I saw by the river Chebar, and I fell on my face, and the glory of the Lord came into the temple by the way of the gate which faces towards the east, and the Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the temple.
Yeah.
Then I heard him speaking to me from the temple while a man stood beside me, and he said to me, Son of man, this is the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children forever. And then in Ezekiel chapter 47, it once again mentions this glory. And it talks about that in this temple, water begins to flow out. Now, we all know, and it's not take a brain scientist to understand this, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit in this hour, right? We're not looking to build a temple that's made with the hands of men. But the temple that we have is the temple that's within each one of us. God has made you a sanctuary. Everybody say, I am a sanctuary. Now, because you are a sanctuary, I would advise you to go to the government website and apply for a 501c3 tax-exempt corporation. Believe me, it's very beneficial to do that. You can get a housing allowance and retirement account. You know, a lot of things come along with that. No. We got a big retirement, don't we, Bill? One thing about preachers is that we don't have a lick of sense. I've never met hardly a preacher yet that had anything in retirement. And I think God kind of does that in a way, because He just, for some reason, he wants us to make us dependent upon him.
Yeah.
Now, I know you're dependent upon your 401, whatever you call them. I don't even know what they're called. Your stock market account and all this stuff. I know you're dependent upon, but I wanted to have one of those things. So, you've got us until we fall over. I mean, we're not going anywhere, you know what I mean? There's no buying the motor home and riding off into the sunset. We're just here. Hallelujah. And then, so we are the sanctuary. Everybody say, I am a sanctuary.
I am a sanctuary.
You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so it says, out of this temple, it's talking about this temple though in the Old Testament, because we've got to know this is the exact pattern of what we're like, right? So when you look at the Old Testament, we don't look at it as, well, let's go back and repeat that. We look at it, see, it's a shadow, it's a type, it's a symbol, it's a pattern of what is actually we're experiencing in this new covenant. And so it's a whole different level of relationship, isn't it? We're not relating to the things physically in the flesh anymore, but now everything's by the Spirit. Jesus said, I don't want to know any of you by the flesh. He said, man, I would really not have any faith for you if I knew you in the flesh. He said, I want to know you in your heart, in your spirit. And so that's how the Lord relates to us. And you know, that's how God can look at you and see himself, because he doesn't see you in the flesh. If the Lord looks at your flesh, do you think he might be a little disappointed in what he sees? Right? But so, thank God he doesn't look to the flesh. He looks to the heart. The intention of your heart, that the recreated, redeemed heart that's been transformed by the blood of Jesus Christ, that's what he sees in you. So when he sees you, he sees himself, because that's the nature of who you are now, is Christ is in you. That's the hope of glory. The resident ark of the covenant is now residing in each one of you. That same glory that Ezekiel talks about is in you. And so he talks about this temple, and he's talking about you, isn't he? That out of the temple flows water.
Yes.
Yeah. Water.
Come on.
Water begins to flow. Now, what is water? Well, water's life, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so when water flows, it's like the Bible said, it's like the Word flowing.
Yes.
We're cleansed by the washing of the water of the Word. So the Word of God that comes out of our mouth. In fact, it says that we are living epistles. In words, so if we're a living epistle, what's an epistle? Epistle is a place where you, it's a word, isn't it? The epistles of Paul, right? He wrote the epistles to the church. This is the letter to the churches. I'm speaking to you. So when we're a living epistle, it means that we're a word that's to be read. And so if the Word of God is like water, then we, as the Word of God, are out of us is flowing rivers of living water. Out of your belly, the Bible said, shall flow rivers, right? Is that what it says? Rivers of water. You got to understand, when I ask you that, I'm sincere, because sometimes I forget what it says. Out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water. So we're epistles to be read and known by all men. So, in other words, we are, and this freaks you out when you say this, it does me, we are the Word.
The Word. Right. That's right.
See, when people go around saying, this is the Word, walk you in it, what they're trying to do is bind you to a doctrine. But when you say, this is the Word, this is the example. Because, see, until this printed Word becomes a living Word, it's a dead Word. A dead Word is worse than having no Word.
Come on. Yeah.
You're better off not having any Word than to have a dead Word. Because a dead Word will produce in you death. A living Word produces life. So out of this temple shall flow rivers of life.
Yeah.
Water that will flow. And see, then it talks about the progression of the revelation. You see, the more you exercise the revelation or express the revelation, the greater the revelation becomes.
Yeah.
So when you get a revelation from the Lord, the key to walking in that revelation is to keep expanding it. So it says it starts out with the ankles, then it comes up to the knees and to the calves, to the loins, to the chest, and finally the water gets so deep, it says, coming out of this temple, that you've got to swim in it. We want the swim kind of revelation. We want a revelation that so overwhelms us that all we can do is swim in it. We don't want to just wade in it. We don't want to sort of tickle our feet a little bit. Oh, I got my feet wet. Oh, my feet got wet. See, most people are afraid of jumping in to the middle of the lake because we have this inert fear that if we really jump into this thing, we're going to drown in it. So we have a fear of something new. We talked about this morning, Cheryl was talking about the old and the new. Well, when I talk about we got to bring forth the old and the new to bring forth the kingdom, that doesn't mean that I'm going to say, well, we got to have more old than new. No, the old simply reaffirms and confirms the new.
Amen. Yeah.
So it takes both old and new to bring forth something, but the old is not the pattern. I mean, the old is the pattern, but the new is the expression of the pattern.
Yes, come on.
For it says Jesus is the chief cornerstone, and he said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. So in one sense, we look at a historical 2,000 years ago, Jesus speaking, but no, we don't see him in the same light today as we saw him 2,000 years ago, because he's not the same to us. He's not a Christ that's hanging on a cross. He's not a Christ that was buried in a grave. He's not he's a Christ that's risen. He's a Christ that's seated.
Yes.
Amen. So we're looking unto Jesus, who's seated at the right hand of the Father. That becomes the author and the finisher of our faith. Where he is now, is the pattern that we look at. We don't go back and say, well, that's the back there is what we are. No, we say, this is what we are up here.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean we discount that, because just as important today as it ever was that Christ was born of a virgin, that Christ lived a sinless life, that Christ died on a cruel cross, that Christ was buried in a grave, that Christ descended below, but then he ascended above, and now he's seated at the Heavenly Father. So all of that is our foundation. And Hebrews talks about, it says, let's press on now to the higher level of perfection. Let's go to the next level. Let's not lay again a foundation of faith towards God, of baptisms, and all these other things. We don't have to go back and lay that foundation, for that foundation is already laid. Now we're pressing in to a perfect position, to being perfected in Christ. But we don't go back and disdain that, but we say that's been laid in us. That's a foundation in us. And if we need a little shoring up, to shore it up. But don't keep focusing there.
Come on. That's all.
Hallelujah. That's why you can go into a denominational setting, or even a setting like ours, it's not denominational. And sometimes you can find that we're so stuck in ruts. And because it worked 20 years ago, it got to work the same way today. And so we keep preaching the same thing, doing the same thing, the same methods, the same doctrines, over and over and over again. And that's the definition of lunacy, is thinking that you keep doing the same thing over and over again, it's going to create some new result. It doesn't create some new result. It keeps creating the same results over and over again. This is too far. I'm getting too far into this. I got to back off now.
Come on, don't back off.
Now we're going to talk about faith this morning. Have you ever wondered what I carry in this bottle? So this water begins to flow. Oh, my goodness. And it said, everywhere this water goes, there's got to be a song there. Everywhere this water flows, every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, we'll live, we'll live, we'll live. Bringing forth a multitude of fish. Bringing forth healing. Everything will live. Wherever the water goes, it will live. It will live. It will live. And it would be like saying to you, O saints of God, everywhere you go will be life abundantly, and even more life will come. And you will bring forth many fishes. Didn't Jesus say to Peter, follow me, and I will make you a fishy of men. A fisher of men. So fishing scriptural. I'm still trying to find golf in there somewhere. But the guy did write a book called Golf in the Kingdom. That's my second Bible. Woo, glory to God. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, it does have a little interesting passage we talked about the other day. It said they had all things in common.
Yeah.
Everybody say all things.
All things.
in common. Did you know when we really walk in true unity, we will have all things in common? I don't know about this. It's kind of crazy. The scripture says that we'll see eye to eye. We'll all speak the same thing. We'll all walk in the same spirit. We'll all have the same unity of the faith. There'll be one baptism. There'll be one Lord. There'll be one faith. It's kind of crazy, isn't it, to think about that. That we could be so one that we were like Stepford wives. That this little beam comes down from heaven and says, blah, 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 and then we all just march the same way. Blah, 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 blah. It said we'll all march together. We won't break ranks. We won't thrust one another through. Oh, shucks, you're going to take all the fun out of church. We don't get to thrust one another through anymore. Some people just love to go to church so they can stick somebody in the back. And you're saying that in the kingdom, there will be none of that sticking in the back stuff? No. Some crazy reason we'll all get along. We'll love one another just as we've been loved. We'll be kindly affectionate one for another. Be you kind one to another. That's kind of weird, isn't it? It's crazy. I mean, think about it. To have a church filled with love.
Amen.
We preach about love a lot around here, don't we? But it's a good thing we just don't have to preach about it. We're walking in it. When I saw Bill and Tracy last night, Bill was over at his house, and I was in a bad mood, and I was trying to get in the church, and I'm kind of rawr, rawr, rawr. And here comes Bill out of his house. And that song was running through my head, I'll run to you, I'll run to you. So Bill, here comes Bill trotting up with his arms out, Papa! No, he wasn't saying Papa, but he was thinking it. Papa! And so I look up, here comes Bill. And so I, hey, Bill! And so I got thinking, I can't be in a bad mood. This guy coming over here to love on me. And but it's so reflective of how we feel about each other. I mean, my goodness. Aren't you glad you feel that way about your brothers and sisters? Look at Ephesians chapter 2. I mean, God did such an incredible thing when he sent Jesus. How many know it was pretty crazy what he did? I mean, he tore down every wall of division between humanity and himself.
Yes.
Just destroyed it. It said he came to destroy the work of the devil. I mean, the Lord came with a wrecking crew to bring down every division in the commonwealth of Israel. And those people that used to be strangers are now called friends. That's wild, isn't it? Here, I mean, I was a stranger, and now all of a sudden, I've been yanked into this household and sat down at the table, and they've given me the fatted calf and all the trimmings that go with it. I love the trimming part. And the banana pudding and everything, lemon pie, everything was put in front of me that I could even imagine. In fact, it exceedingly abundantly above all I could even ask or think. All of a sudden, I was brought out of this place where I used to stand outside the house and throw rocks at it and cuss at them because I thought they were a bunch of hypocrites and liars and cheaters. And now all of a sudden, they've yanked me up by the collar and threw me down on the table and said, here, son, come and eat.
Amen.
That make any sense to you?
Yeah.
Doesn't to me. I don't. It sounds crazy. Why would someone do that for me? It says in verse 14, he broke down the wall of division. He abolished in his flesh the enmity or the enemy. He took away these commandments that I've never been able to live up to them. And I just keep, sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night, I'm just talking about the way I used to be in the flesh. Thou shalt not, and I wake up thinking, I'll never measure up to this standard. But if the Lord keeps saying, I'm going to take away those laws of commandments, those ordinances, because I want to bring you into a place of peace and unity. I'm going to take away everything that's bound you up. I'm going to eliminate it out of your life. And in its place, I'm going to replace it with this big old gooey, ooey, chewy ball of peace that just passes all understanding. That's what it's like, isn't it, redemption? Because all of a sudden you were estranged and now you're part of. And it brings peace to you, doesn't it? No wonder some people get gooey. I mean, no wonder people get freaked out, radical, rolling around on the floor crazy, because all of a sudden they realized, hey, now I've been brought forth into the house of God. See, the greatest challenge isn't getting us, the greatest challenge wasn't getting us to relate to God, but it was getting the Father. What Christ did, the greatest thing he did was bringing the Father back into our lives. Amen. How many are glad the Father is involved in your life now? Amen. What does the Father do? The Father works in you to perfect in you everything that he is. That's why he sent Jesus Christ, was to bring forth so you could have the same relationship to the Father that Jesus did. Amen. Jesus said, I'm one with the Father. Because of that, you can also have that same unity. So we have a unity with God that comes like in Ezekiel, it says in chapter 11, therefore says the Lord, although I've cast them far off among the heathen, and although I've scattered them among the countries, yet will I bring them back, and they will become like a little sanctuary to me. So that which was once afar off has now become near. God redeemed you to bring you into unity with him. And that story of redemption is the most incredible story that's ever been. That when we accept Christ into our life, when we believe that he is the Son of God, confess it with our mouth, guess what? We're saved. Amen. And we're not only saved, we're not only redeemed, but now we're brought in to an identity that we never had before. We're brought into a place that everything that we were no longer is our determining factor of who we're to be. Now who we are and what we're to be is determined by what he is. Amen. Wouldn't you rather have that as the cornerstone of your house than to have some definition of what some man would tell you that you're going to become? Because this is what Christ says that I am. So if he says it, I'm it. Yeah. I am that I am that I am. Right?
Yeah.
Who are you? Everybody say, I am.
I am.
I am that I am that I am.
That I am.
You are what you are because of who he is.
That's right. Amen.
In Psalms chapter 132, and I'm going to wrap this up pretty soon. Because I've been going almost 30 minutes. And I've got to balance out the equation. Hey, by the way, I sure appreciated Darren's message last week. That was so awesome. And the week before, Bill Vanderbush, you guys are just incredible. You know, I realized I would never even have to stand up here again. Do y'all want to have a vote on that? Okay. Good. But if we ever do vote me out, please. Just vote me out. But as long as you get a retirement package, vote me out. Okay. No retirement package, forget about it. And this is so beautiful because this is in the Psalms of Ascent. And I just want to wrap this up with these Psalms 132 and 133. David says, remember me in my affliction. And he said that David swore to the Lord in verse 2, vowed to the mighty God of Jacob, surely I will not go into the chamber of my house or go up to the comfort of my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the mighty God of Jacob. Verse 13 says, "For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his habitation." And so this beautiful progression of an unfolding revelation that comes to our lives, and we know that we're getting closer to the pinnacle of the full expression of God's glory in the church when we all begin to have a revelation that I believe that we're having a revelation now is what it really means to have union with God. To be just as He is upon the earth. To have union with the Father as Christ had union with the Father. When we begin to have that revelation, we're getting close to the full expression of glory. And so the revelation of unity with Him has to be more than just a mental assent to say, well, yeah, I know that He did this and redeemed us and da-da-da. It has to be all of a sudden a consciousness. Just like we lose the consciousness of sin, we have to gain a consciousness of righteousness.
Yes, come on.
As Francois so aptly stated, repentance is a metamorphosis. To metaphor, to change, to transform into a different place. And so, as we change and transform into a different place in a position, and we have a consciousness of unity with God, then we begin to see ourselves in a different light than what we've ever seen ourselves before. Now we can truly say, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
We are one with Him.
Yeah.
We have become
Yes.
who He is and all the things that go with it, all the buffet of blessings that God gives, all those rich things that come down from heaven now are beginning to apply and beginning to become reality to us. Hallelujah. Woo. Man, I wished I could expound this a little more this morning, but I'm not going to. It says in Ephesians 2, I'm going back to Psalms, in whom you're being built together for a habitation of God in spirit. And so this great unity that God is creating in us, making us this sanctuary, this abiding place. It says in this place, in chapter 132 of Psalms in verse 14, this is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. Did you know that the great thing about this is this master plan, this architect of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father and the Holy Spirit, these master planners, these ones that before the foundation of the world had all this already detailed and planned out, that they started this thing in you. The New Testament tells us that this thing they've started, they're going to complete. That we're here as almost in an experimental lab, that God keeps looking to and fro across the earth, trying to find a people that will finally come to the place and said, here we are, Lord, we'll be your sanctuary. This gives them goosebumps in heaven. The Godhead is, they just jump up and down with excitement when they find it. This is a place that has said, we welcome you.
Amen.
This is somewhere where we can work and perfect and bring forth what we want to bring forth upon the earth. This is an incubator of the kingdom.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be nice to be known like that? That we're just the putty and He's the potter. We're just a bunch of dumb clay around here saying, Lord, make me and mold me after Thy way, O God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah. That's what God's looking for. And the greater that He finds the people that will just keep deferring. See, the whole point of this is just to keep deferring to that. We keep saying, we refuse to take the right out of Your hand to do what You want to do, Lord, by creating our own religious system in it. We just keep stripping ourselves bare and say, Lord, clothe us. We keep taking away that which we are and say, Lord, equip us. Hallelujah. We keep not standing any longer on our own merit, our own righteousness, and say, Lord, apart from you, we can do nothing. Hallelujah. See, one of the things you'll know for sure when God really works in the midst of us, it doesn't produce any arrogance. And it does not stroke any ego. It does not create any ministry. Do you realize this? The Lord's purpose in bringing forth the kingdom is not to create your ministry. It's to bring forth His glory upon the earth. Hallelujah. Men make ministries. God doesn't make ministries. Men does. Now, God creates in us a ministry, but it's never ours. We're stewards of it. Hallelujah. If you don't have a ministry, then you don't have to defend your ministry. But if it's Him, just keep deferring back to Him. It's the Lord in me. It's the Lord in me. It's what God's doing in me. Thank God He's doing a great thing. But man, it's nothing to me in it. It's all Him. Hallelujah. Amen. Kind of takes pressure off, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, you're just a mighty apostle of God. Well, or you're a prophet. He's a prophet. He's an apostle. If He wants to manifest that way through me, I'll just yield myself. You see what I'm saying? I'm not the prophet. He's the prophet. I'm not the Christ. He's the Christ. But I'm in Him, and He's in me. And so what He is in me can work in me. Enough of that. Hallelujah. Woo. See, when we get that, we got peace, don't we? When we have found a resting place, I'll dwell, I've desired it. Then what will He do in this place that He dwells in? He will abundantly bless it with provision. He will bring forth bread for the poor. He'll clothe priests with salvation. And the saints shall shout aloud for joy. And I'll make the horn of David grow. I'll prepare a lamp for the anointed ones. And upon the enemies that come, I'll clothe them with shame. See, the Lord said, when you really lift me up in the midst of this house, then everything that you need will be supplied according to my riches and glory.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hallelujah. True. Glory to God.
Woo.
Woo. Got to close. Got to close. I'm running to the finish line. Paul said, I've not yet got there, but I'm going to go. Woo. One other quick thing, and I'm just, Psalms 133, we're through. We're through. I love this passage, don't you? Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Let me read that again. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. For there, it's like the precious oil upon the head, running down upon the beard of Aaron, running down upon the edge of the garments. It's like the dew of Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessings, life forevermore. Wow. So out of this great revelation of this great unity that we have with the Father and the reestablishment or the establishment of our identity in Christ, out of that revelation comes forth the koinonia of the Spirit of God for unity in the midst of us. To where now we're no longer just relating to God in all this great mystical union that's taken place with Him, but now the same mystical union begins to interact with our brothers and sisters to where it's bone of bone and flesh of flesh, hallelujah, and heart of heart and mind of mind, and pretty soon we're so intertwined together that we cannot be separated by anything that would come against us.
Yeah.
And that's where God commands a blessing to flow. Wow. Jesus said men would know that we are one by what? By what? If you have love one for another. And that's not just love that comes out of a mental sin of love. Say, oh, I love you, I love you, I love you. It's a true felt, heartfelt, joined together by the Spirit, integrated, bonded together, so glued together is better than super glue, so tied together that you're so one in spirit, so one in heart, and so much in love. That it literally blows the mind of the world. We keep thinking, boy, if we could get a better, get higher worship and better words and more Sunday school classes and more youth programs and more marriage seminars and more financial freedom seminars and if we could just only have a tennis court and a putting green and a coffee shop and a break room and better multimedia and more color lights and slot machines. No, forget that. Forget that. If we could only, we could only have all of this. And I got this invited to this conference the other day. It's probably a good conference. I'm going to send Bill and Darren to it. But at this conference, it's like, learn how to do everything you can do to reach the most people. And I'm thinking, well, that's all good. But what if we just loved one another with the love of Christ? What would that do to reach the world? Do you think maybe that would impress someone if we really had love? I mean, what God is creating here, and we want Him to create it not only in this house, but in this city, of course, all over the world, but we want to be a womb, an incubator of experimental, where God can say, this is where I'm going to perfect them in my love. If we could just create that, if we could just get 120, or maybe let's get 60, or what if we just got 20, or what if we just got 10 or 5, but if you could just find even a small group that says that really this begins to work in them, they will be like the handful of corn spread upon a mountain that will bring forth a kingdom upon an earth. They'll change the nations because they have love one for another.
Amen.
No greater love than a man have that he lay down his life for his friends. See, love is the only thing you can't counterfeit. It's the only thing you can't program. It's the only thing you can't dictate. It's the only thing you can't make a doctrine about. It's the only thing you can't advertise. Because true love will not wear the mask of hypocrisy. Only those who walk in the revelation of the unity of the Father and of the sanctuary of the house can walk in an unending supply of love that will transform the world. When you look at the cross, it's not just vertical, but it's also horizontal. Goes up, comes down, all around. That which flows from heaven must flow this way. And that's what I'm praying for this house. That we be a city set upon a hill. An example of love, of unity, faith. An example of the nature of Christ manifested among a people. Do you love me? Do you love each other? So much so that, you know, weird thing happened yesterday. I went on a little journey. It wasn't through the halls of hell. Bill and me were laughing about how we used to preach messages like that, journey through the halls of hell. No, I would rather journey through the halls of love. But every one of you that I know in this house, your mental image, a picture of you came before me yesterday. Every single person in this church, and every person it was like a rapid fire succession. But as I saw your faces, my heart was overwhelmed with love. Some of you I may never, and I, God forbid, I hope this is the case, I may never sit down with a meal with you. I may never be in your home. I may never even talk to you on the phone, potentially. But what God has given us in the Spirit is greater than any of that. Because you may be feel like you're an obscure member. And, well, I don't know if the pastor even knows my name. Well, probably you're maybe right. I might not. But even if I didn't know your name, because you remember, I carry that little card in my pocket. Remember, if I didn't even know your name, I could still love you. Now, as much as I love anyone that I maybe have eaten countless meals with or had conversations on the phone unending. Unending conversations. Because it's not, that's not how you're known. Now, I think that obviously we want to know one of those names. We want to fellowship. We want to have everything in common. We want to have that, and we should have that, and you should have that. And if you're not having that, it's not really someone else's fault. You're the one that should jump in, right? You should jump into this. Don't blame someone else. But see, there's something in the Spirit that God's creating of unity and of love. And that out of that house will flow the rivers of water that will go to the nations to bring life. Father, we love you this morning. Let your glory fill this house. Let it rain from heaven like the dew that descends. Let it descend upon us, Father, like waves of refreshment in the house of God. Come, Lord, we worship you. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, mighty King. Flow like a river into the house and out of the house. Let there be a breaking through this morning of revelation glory upon your people. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Let your promises all manifest. Write your holy name on all of us. Lord, you're glorious. You're glorious. You're so good. You're so good. And your love is forever. You're so good, you're so good, and your love is forever. You're so good, you're so good, and your love is forever. You're so good, you're so good. You're so good. You're so good. Your love is forever. You're so good. You're so good.